With the first pick in the 2007 NFL Draft, the Oakland Raiders select quarterback Jamarcus Russell, LSU.
And here we go.
Director of College Scouting here at the National Football Post, and you are now listening to the seventh installment of Draft Talk. Have another awesome guest this week, Tony Softley, former Vice President of Player Personnel with the Rams and current NFL Insider / Talent / Sideline Reporter at 101 ESPN St. Louis. Tony, thanks for joining, man. What's going on?
No problem, Wes. What's happening, man? Let's do this.
All right, well, we're going to get into it. There were two pretty good quarterbacks playing this week, USC and Stanford matchup. And we'll start with Matt Barkley. Always like to throw it to the guest first. So not your overall impressions, Tony, but just what you saw from this past weekend that you liked, that you didn't like, or whatever what you want to touch on, Matt Barkley versus Stanford.
You know, I like his size. I think he's a little bit more of a pocket-type passer. He doesn't like to scramble and move out. He does escape real well. It was just, you know, I've only seen him play a couple times this year. The one thing that kind of stood out on me was the inconsistency of spinning the ball. It flutters on some short passes, but he seems to have a pretty good handle on some balls outside the numbers and down the field. So arm strength is good. It was good to see him audible and change plays at the line of scrimmage, which you always want to see in a young quarterback. And you know, I just thought he had a command of the offense. The one thing that kind of stood out to me was his body language and a little bit of his eyes when they panned to him right before going to overtime. He didn't look real confident. You know, you look at Luck, he's pumping his guys up and getting them ready. Barkley kind of stood there and people were kind of pumping him up. I thought that was kind of strange a little bit for me anyway. But other than that, pretty solid performance. You know, and he's going to be a pretty decent quarterback. There's no question about that.
Yeah, and I want to touch on that one point of people pumping him up. And I almost feel like he's that leader on the team in every game except when he goes up against his big brother, Andrew Luck. And I feel like he's almost has that younger brother type feel to him that, you know, I don't know if I can ever beat this guy. And as a competitor, you know, even if you know a guy's more talented or better than you, you know, you just want to go get out there and get after him. But outside of that, you talking about his ability to get his team in and out of the huddle, his feel of the offense. I thought this guy has a tremendous feel of his offense, 3 years starting there. And his way that he's able to manipulate defenses and also getting the defenses to show the blitz or show pressure a little prematurely. I thought he did a nice job working the snap count early and throughout the game, getting them to show their cards a little bit. And then his ability to decipher where the mismatch is he likes and get the ball out of his hands quickly. I thought he was very comfortable in the three-step game consistently. His timing, his rhythm was both plus in those areas. He's a bit undersized. I think he's about 6'2", maybe 6'1.5", but they have him listed at 6'2". I think a couple times he's got to fall off throws a little, especially I saw when they brought pressure through those A-gaps inside when he was working the three-step game in order to quickly get the ball out. I didn't think he got away from center overly quickly, but I think this is a guy that's comfortable in the pocket, can make all the throws, especially on all levels of the field, and I thought it was a solid performance again, Tony.
Yeah, well, you know, I couldn't disagree with a lot of things you said. The one good thing that he does do, he recognizes blitz quickly, like you mm-hmm. said. He does get it out very fast if it's a swing or a check down. He does a good job of pump fake the safety, get him to slide one way, and coming back to his primary, which I thought was awesome. Soft touches on screens and swings, like I was saying. A little sluggish in the scramble part of it. When they roll him out and move him away from the pocket, he does a good job of throwing on the run. But, you know what, getting out there on his own, he looks sluggish. He doesn't have that speed like Luck. He can't escape all that. He takes too many hits, and he'll have to change that for the next level. There's no question.
Yeah, and I like that you brought up pressure in his face. There's a lot of times we see quarterbacks, as soon as they feel pressure, where's the eye level go? Boom, right at the pressure. And this is a guy that, off his first read, finds a secondary option, even if it's across the field, resets his feet quickly, and like you said, throws a catchable football in the face of pressure. Doesn't blink, doesn't flinch. And I thought, you know, with the talent on the defensive side of the football in the NFL, those guys are going to win one-on-one matchups. And what do you do when you decipher that information quickly? Are you a guy that puts his eye level down and takes away his chance to find any secondary targets? Or do you quickly move your feet, balance yourself, and accurately deliver the football? And I thought he's done that as well as any quarterback so far this year. Watching him from last year, it was a bit of a concern, but I watched him early versus Minnesota, saw him again versus Stanford. And I think that's just the overall feel, Tony, of when you start getting comfortable with an offense, third year into it, I think you just see him develop and slowly mature in that offense as he continues to play more football.
Yeah, I've been watching since he was a freshman, and yeah, he's gotten more composed in the pocket, more comfortable. With this is a new offense under a new regime, so he had to adjust the last couple of years, and he's done that. And you can see the comfort level really starting to rise. You know, but again, that body language and those eyes on the sideline, that bothered me a little bit from a competitive standpoint. And that'll be a concern as he moves to the next level if he decides to do that this upcoming year, which I'm sure he will. But, yeah, that's something to keep an eye on. There's no question.
Well, Tony, this is what's great having you here. Being a former VP of player personnel with the Rams, exactly how much does that weigh in? Obviously, we can grade the talent. The more we watch, we can grade the talent. But the great unknown of the NFL draft and how successful these guys are or how much work they're going to put in, their competitive attitude, week in and week out, are they going to win for you Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, or are they just going to show up on Sunday? What would that kind of thing say to you if you see a guy that his teammates need to rally around him consistently for him to get to play up to that level of competition in crunch time?
Yeah, you know, it's everybody that's around him is the key. You got to talk to the head coaches, the strength coaches, the position coaches. You got to talk to the coordinator, and it's important to find out everything about this young man from a leadership standpoint, a competitive standpoint, how much passion for the game that he has. I want to know everything about him from when he is on the field, when he's off the field, when he's during the offseason, when he's in the locker room. Is he a leader in those situations? Is he a competitor? How much passion does he have for the game? Is he a student of the game? How much time does he put in? So the more you can get to the people that are around him to find out exactly how he performs in certain situations is really key to the future and how you pick a player, especially in the first round.
Now, we're just going to play hypothetical here, Tony, but if this is a quarterback prospect, not Matt Barkley, but just a quarterback prospect, and you get negative grades back on his work ethic on the field, his leadership capabilities, at quarterback, do you just lower your grade on him and what round you would possibly take him, or is this a guy that potentially you would just remove from your board as a whole?
Well, I think you gotta really make sure that the negatives that you're getting, you talk to as many people as possible, like I said, and make sure that if you can't clear up those negatives and you don't try to create something to clear up, then, yeah, you have to make a decision on, okay, this guy's probably going to get drafted in the third, fourth, or fifth round. What we're hearing is too much negative. He lacks competitiveness. He doesn't have the passion for the game. He's not a student of the game, or whatever the negatives might be that actually scare you away from him. Once you verify those are true, then yeah, you either put them on the draft board and you mark them, do not draft, for whatever reason, or you just take them off the board and just get them out of the vision of what you're trying to do on draft day.
Now we're going to look on to Andrew Luck and the overall drive that we saw from, or the lack of drive that we saw from Matt Barkley, possibly late in that game. The mental toughness, it was the complete opposite of Andrew Luck. And the one thing that really stuck out, you know, we can talk about how clean he is from a footwork standpoint, his live arm, his athleticism, whatever you want. But after he threw that pick, it almost seemed like that pick seemed to fuel him. Like, I am not losing this football game. You know, I made a mistake and now I'm going to make amends for it. And that's what really impressed me, his overall drive, his demeanor, and his willingness to pretty much put that team on his back at a time and say, you know what, I made a mistake. But he didn't let the environment, the situation, or his mistake crumble him. And I thought over all else, and as impressive as a prospect that he is, I thought that was the most impressive thing that I took from that game.
Yeah, one thing that I wrote down as soon as he threw that pick six was he fights through adversity, because you saw him grab his helmet like, oh, my God, no. He came to the sideline. He composed himself. He immediately went to his teammates and said, hey, that one was on me. Let's go ahead and get this thing done. And that's the leadership qualities that you're looking for. That's the competitiveness you're looking for, the passion for the game, and he has all that. And I think the maturity, you can see a difference in maturity as well. And when he went down and drove down and scored that to tie it up, man, I mean, you could just see that. I mean, there's several NFL GMs going, wow, I want that guy, because it was obvious. I mean, this guy has everything you're looking for it from a competitive standpoint, and it sure was showing and glaring on that last drive to tie it up.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you said get through adversity, his willingness to fight through adversity. And this is such a smart kid who's able to get his team in and out of situations, in and out of the huddle, in and out of personnel groupings even. They can go from bunch with a heavy base, they can split out and go to spread looks. And so he's a smart enough kid to consistently get favorable fronts, which allows him to consistently play ahead of the chains. And I thought this USC game would be a good situation where we could watch Andrew Luck play behind the chains, play against some adversity. And again, was he as impressive as, you know, he's been when he's always ahead of the chains? No, there were some times where his accuracy was a little off when he had to step up in the pocket and move around. But overall, I thought the gutsiness and his ability to manufacture yards, both with his legs and his arm, against unfavorable situations, what really stood out to me.
No, there's no question. You talked about the bunch formations, the tank formations, the three tight end formations. You know what? You know, Andrew Luck is surrounded by running backs and tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't even have a receiving crew to throw to.
No.
If he had USC's receivers or some of these other top receivers like Blackman at Oklahoma State, or I could name a whole bunch of these guys, I mean, just think what his numbers would be. He cannot stretch the field because of the lack of speed out on the edge and outside the numbers. He's throwing to tight ends and handing it off to running backs. He's running the ball, like you said, and he does that very effectively. But he is really limited in the weapons that he has, and I think he does an exceptional job of doing that. There's a reason why he's 27th in the NCAA in passing, you know, and Barkley is 11th. So there's a difference in personnel, and you know what? He utilizes his personnel well, like you mentioned. I think he does an exceptional job of doing that, and really, he'll probably even better quarterback at the next level when he gets those top athletes and receivers outside the number.
Without a doubt. When they went down by double digits early in the second half, and there were times, there were some long third and long situations where he had to throw behind the chains. And some of those throws, like you said, the targets he's throwing at, they're not generating much separation in and out of their breaks. And his ability to anticipate those throws and put it in those small windows, it's going to serve him well at the next level. There's no doubt about that when he starts throwing the football to some of those more dynamic athletes in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? This guy is, you know, I hate to say perfect quarterback because there's no such thing, but he's pretty close. He stands tall in the pocket under pressure, delivers very well. He's got good field vision.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing about it, and you talked about it, throwing into the window, he has all that. He can throw it over a linebacker in front of a safety, very smooth in his drops and everything. But you know what? He calls his own plays. The intelligence that this guy brings to the field, checks at the line of scrimmage, audibles. You know what? The quarterbacks in the two-minute drill, as he was driving down to tie that, they weren't even sending any plays in or giving any signals. He did everything off his wristband. Just the intelligence level alone makes this guy stand apart for the next level.
I think the one thing I want to touch on last with Andrew Luck is you talk about how good this guy is from the shoulders up. And in comparisons with Peyton Manning always come up. But when you watch this guy from an athletic standpoint as well, you know, it almost does him an injustice to say that this guy's a Peyton Manning-like prospect, because you look at the caliber athlete Peyton is, and not taking anything away from him, but Luck would run circles around Peyton. This is a guy that you can boot, you can get this guy outside the pocket, and his ability, even when you drop 7 or 8 and you win, you have him covered up, his ability to manufacture those yards with his legs and keep the chains moving, you know, how do you stop this guy if you're a defensive coordinator? Even if you win, and you're playing man, and no one's looking at this guy, he can still pick up 5, 6, 7, 8 yards at a time and keep those chains moving.
Yeah, there's no question. 6'4", 235 pounds. I mean, he's extremely athletic, like you're saying. You know, the thing I like in everything you mentioned, plus the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
He puts the pressure on the defense by getting the ball out quickly. He makes very good, quick decisions. If he doesn't throw it, he's going to run it. So he's a two-way type guy that the defense has to respect. You know, it just this guy's feet, his movement, his burst, his escapability, his mobility in space. And the thing that I saw last weekend was his ability to roll left, square his hips, square his shoulders, and deliver the ball with accuracy and touch. Those mechanics are hard to teach. That's just natural-born, God-given ability. And you know what? He has everything. Now, there is one thing that kind of bothered me a little bit. It did. And that was where he would throw balls up for grabs every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And then the delay of game penalty that he got, the clock management, he'll definitely have to improve on that. And that's something that they'll teach him at the next level. Not that they haven't taught him there, but he'll have to adjust even better in the NFL.
Yeah, and that was rare, to be honest. I mean, watching Andrew Luck, there hasn't been too many times I've seen him take a delay game. And I didn't know if that was the situation. He couldn't find the clock on the field or whatever, but... Yeah, we're nitpicking when we're trying to find too many negatives about this guy, aren't we?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, the guy is a hell of a quarterback. I mean, it is what it is. There's going to be some negatives, some positive. But when I look at the positive rocks, man, that scale is way down because, you know, the negative rocks can't even come close. There's no question.
Yeah. What do you give up, Tony, just hypothetically, and we'll end it on this. If you're picking, you know, somewhere in the top 5 to 10, but not the number one overall pick, all right, we'll say, what do you think some team would have to give up to move up and get this guy?
You'd have to move up, obviously, your one, to swap the one that year, the two that year, and possibly a one and two the next year. I mean, this is a franchise quarterback that's going to come to you with all the skill set, all the mind, all the decision-making, the athleticism, everything you need, the attributes as a quarterback. They would have to give up a lot to move up and get him. There's no question. They would have to move up, give up a lot of the future.
Yeah.
Future, which I'm not opposed to. You never give up your ones, as far as I'm concerned. Bill Walsh taught me that. Bill Polian, Mike McCormick, and several others. Jack Wachowski, you never give up your ones. But for this guy, it might be, you know, somebody's going to think very long and hard about it. There's no question about it.
Yeah, that's the one interesting debate, I think, as we go forward. Teams that need quarterbacks, that Cleveland Browns possibly have two ones this year. You know, exactly how much do you give up for a guy that you think can be that difference maker at the skill position? It'll be a good debate going forward. But, Tony, thanks for joining me. And can you tell the listeners where they can find you or the many places they can find you throughout the web right now?
You bet. They can find me in, on my Twitter account, Softly, SoftlySPL. They can also check me out at my website, TonySoftly.com. And they can stream us at 101sports.com as well. And pick us up. I'm the sideline reporter for the Rams. And it's a fun time. And they can stream us and listen to that as well.
And again, if you want to listen to Tony, read what he has to say. All the links are provided below, so check him out. He's one guy I'd highly recommend. Tony, thanks a lot for joining me. I really appreciate it.
We'll have to look forward to the next time, buddy.
Not a problem. And guys, thanks a lot this week for listening to Draft Talk version 7.0. We'll be on again next Tuesday every 7 o'clock with a new guest. Have a good week.